Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday here at 11 o'clock, and we discuss different topics, different issues, different discussions, anything that really will help us improve the reality in the world around us, anything that will help us influence our friends, our families, our communities, and ourselves to do good, to learn good, to do better, and to help the world. We often talk with therapists on the show, as well as doctors, professionals, educators, and we also talk with organizations about volunteering and different things like that that can help. So today, I'm actually quite excited because we have something a bit different, and this is what I'm excited about. We have two people, and I'm saying people because we'll share shortly who they are, that have come in studio today with a passion and with their wish to volunteer with their own private, I guess I'll say it already, with their dogs, and actually turn them into therapeutical dogs and creates a support system through an organization that they are handlers and go and volunteer and make a difference. So today we're going to be talking about therapy dogs from many angles, from the actual therapeutical benefits, from the work that is happening. Maybe you also want to take your dog in through this journey and volunteer and share. And if you're passionate about helping, and if you're passionate about your animals, and if you're passionate about being part, and as I say many times, when we talk about volunteering, we should just take initiative and do it and not only rely on the bigger systems. So this is quite exciting, and especially that we haven't been here for the past 2-3 weeks. It's been Pesach, etc. So we are back for a new term, and this is a great way to start. So let's get to know you a bit and introduce you. Firstly, good afternoon to Nish. Did I pronounce
it's
your name
Nisha.
Correct? Nisha.
Yes.
Sorry.
No problem.
Okay. Nisha. Okay. Thank you, Nisha, for being here. A word about yourself for our guests to get to know you.
So my name is Nisha. I am a Afrikaans teacher at St. Stidian's Girls College. And this is my dog, my own personal pet. She is a corgi. Her name is Tessa. And we go out to different places, old age homes, schools, and just make people happy.
Okay. A word about Tessa.
So Tessa is almost 8. She is a Pembroke Welsh Corgi, and she is the love of my life.
Okay. And, okay, we'll get to the questions shortly. Let's get to know our second guest on the show today. Your name is Karen.
Karen, yes.
Hi. And introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Karen Poole, and I'm a handler with Top Dogs, and my top dog is Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey is a Golden Cocker Spaniel cross, we don't know.
Okay.
Possibly Border Collie. Mm-hmm. And he actually was the final gift to me. My husband passed from COVID a month after he adopted Jeffrey. So I think Jeffrey was a special gift from above, and we pay forward all that love.
And he's doing good and helping. Okay, so we got to know you. We do need to take a short break before we start our discussion. So let's just have a message and then continue into what you actually do, the work, etc.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back. And if you're just joining now, we are here with Nisha and Karen, who are both handlers at Top Dogs, which is an organization that handles or manages therapeutical dogs. Well, they are here with their own personal dogs that I guess we could say your dogs are also volunteers at the organization. I'll start with you, Karen. What is Top Dog? What do you do? Tell us a bit about that.
So Top Dogs is a volunteer organization. Top stands for Touch Our Pets. So these are very different to service dogs. They're not specially trained. They just have a good temperament, and they love giving love. And our motto at Top Dogs is to spread smiles for miles. So that's what we do at various facilities, whether we go to a frail care or just a normal old age home or retirement village, to schools for autism. We work with the Teddy Bear Foundation, which is children who are being prepared for court to...
Teddy Bears has been here a few times on the
show.
Yeah,
so you know
familiar.
Them.
Yeah.
And then what else we do? We do bite avoidance classes. We work with Netcare in the neuro ward for rehabilitation. So we work with occupational therapists and the dogs. So just as... And actually my special visits is... we go to Mill Park and we go to the trauma ICU, the burns unit, care.
So you do quite a bit and go around and see and support.
We also do cancer wards as well, which many people would be surprised.
Why would they be surprised?
Well, because everybody assumes that the risk of infection is high, but we prep our dogs. Yeah, we prep our dogs really well. They bathed, they disinfected and whatnot.
So if you're going to trauma units and you're going to burn units, then I'm sure you're taking care of the dogs very well.
Absolutely.
And they're healthy and safe. Nisha, what does it look like? So just take us through it. You walk into the ward with Tessa and say hi. How does it work?
Yeah, so we will meet up as a group, depending on how many people we are in for that visit. So anything from 2 to 8 people usually, and then 8 dogs. So we usually stick in pairs, but how it works is we'll usually arrive 10-15 minutes before, just so that our dogs can be reacquainted, because they do all know each other, but it is nice for them to just have a bit of a walk together so that they can...
They need to catch up.
Yes, correct. And then we'll head in, and if we are at Mill Park, for example, there's always a nurse or...
patient coordinator.
Yeah, patient coordinator, thank you, who walks us through the ward. And then there will be certain people that really, really would like to interact with the dogs, and we help them to do that. So Tessa is small enough to be picked up and put on a bed. So she'll sit on the bed and the person will pet her if they're able to, or she'll just interact with them. But we have a range of sized dogs, so Labrador, for example, would put a paw on the bed or just rest their head for the person to be able to interact with them.
And just that connection is the healing process.
Yes.
and a good effect. I'm curious about, before we go into the therapy, you speak about just going into random places and connecting. You know, I was surprised. I walked in here to the studio. Chaifem, for those of you who don't know, is a very busy place. There's a lot of producers and workers and people, and it's not like an empty place. There's quite a few people. A lot of work has been done. It's happening for the community. And I would expect that if there's 2 dogs running around between that many people, there'd be some commotion, some barking, something happening, nothing. There's chilled like beyond anything. Is that a training?
So yes and no. The therapy dogs, all of the therapy dogs go through an assessment evaluation to see more, but it's more about their temperament and their personality. So they should be able to do basic commands, sit, stay, come, etc. But it's more about how are they with other dogs, how are they with other people, are they socialized? Are they friendly?
So they're chosen.
Well, they are. Technically, yes.
They are chosen. Yeah.
They are chosen.
Okay.
And part of the process, just to go on from what Nisha said, is the handler will do 3 observations prior to the evaluation, which is for them to see, could I see myself doing this at a retirement village or a frail care or at a children's visit? Once those 3 are completed, they then do the assessment or the evaluation with their dog. And then the dog is on probation for 6 visits. And that probation is also a really good time for them to, for the dog to find out what do they enjoy. Mm. Because not every dog loves old people, just like I love all of it. But
we'll leave that. But what is your dog like?
Jeffrey does everything.
Okay, so Jeffrey's chilled and there's no area of not interested.
He's a perfect size, so he can jump on a bed. and his weight is not too much because he's only about 16 kilograms.
Okay.
And he's great with kids. He's got a good temperament with kids. So, yeah, he can, he's pretty much, he can do anything.
Okay. What is Tessa like?
Tessa, her favorite type of visit is a promotional visit or a children's visit. She, even though she's small and is easy to get onto a bed, it's easy to put her onto a bed, she is not absolutely crazy about old age home visits because she doesn't like. Yeah, she gets a bit aloof. Okay. She doesn't. She doesn't like me picking her up and showing her to people. Like she wants to choose the person that she goes to, and she'll choose everyone. But but she wants the choice, I think. Okay. So.
Okay, that's very interesting. So before we continue, I'm just gonna tell our listeners if there's anything you want to ask, you want to know. I don't know. Would you go and volunteer with your dog? Do you think your dog is suitable for it? Do you want to? Are you wondering if your dog is suitable for this kind of volunteering? If you are, any questions you would have for Nicole or Nisha, please send it through to 061-895-1019. Do you see your dog doing it? Do you see yourself doing it? Do you see anybody in your family benefiting from it? And we'll hear from that about that right now. Jen, anything, just let us know. 061-895-1019. Nicole.
Karen.
Sorry. You're right. Okay, you see I'm completely out. Okay. So Karen, I'm wondering from your side, what are the benefits you feel on a personal level that you're gaining from this kind of work?
I've always been a community focused person and I give a lot of my time both to my residents association, the community that I live in. And I used to do a lot of fundraising, especially for old people, because they are my passion. And it got to a point where I felt like I needed to do more than just give money. I felt like it was really important for me to give my time. And then I was at Clearwater Mall, actually, and I met the Top Dogs people. And that was back in 2016. So I've been a handler for 10 years already.
Wow. And I always with Jeffrey?
No, I had a spaniel called Ollie. So he was with me until 2021, until 2023, until he passed away. And my husband and I did it together. That was our thing.
Okay.
And but he didn't. My husband didn't enjoy the old people because you go to a frail care and then the next month you come and somebody's passed away. And he felt he found that really taxing on his heart. So he preferred to do visits with children. So we used to do Teddy Bear Foundation and Casa de Sol, which is for children with nonverbal autism and Down syndrome, that kind of thing. And it was better suited to the dogs that he had. He had a spaniel as well. And then when Tommy passed away, he trained up a Staffy Cross. So we literally have anything from Irish Wolfhounds to Chihuahuas to pit bulls.
Very inclusive.
Very inclusive, yes. Okay. So, yeah, as much as Jeffrey does good, it does my heart good as well. It fills my heart. It's my soul food.
So it means a lot to you. Okay. We do have another ad break, and then when we come back, we'll continue into this discussion. Just reminding you, if there's anything you want to know about this type of work, or maybe you have a child or an elderly person in the family that needs this support, just send us a message, 061-895-1019.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 FM, Rabbi G. We are back and we are in a fascinating discussion. I'm here with two handlers, volunteers, people that support other people with their dogs as emotional support pets. I'm here with Karen and Nisha, right? I got it right this time. Okay. And we are discussing just the work and the general way to go forward and support someone with your dog. And I want to ask you, before any of the listeners send in any questions, which they can at 061-895-1019, my question to you would be, let's say somebody's listening now and they have a dog and they want to do, you know, some emotional support with their dog to their child, to their neighbor, nothing major. They don't have time or they don't have the confidence or the ability to go and volunteer, or their dog hasn't had the training. Some guidance tips of, you have a dog, you have kids over, you have someone over, how do you benefit?
That's a good question. I think innately, just being dogs, I think they do.
That sounds very, just be a dog.
Yes. Okay. I mean, they do wonders just being themselves. Their interactions with people without having to be in a therapy situation makes people happy. And I think that's something Tessa's really good at, especially with the promotional visits, is just making people happy. But I don't know.
It's actually been scientifically proven that stroking a dog releases your happy hormones.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is a large part of what we do, is we encourage people.
Yes, oxytocin.
Yes. So we encourage people to stroke our dogs. And they love being, so I don't know if when Jeffrey arrived, he automatically turns himself into you so that he knows he's working, he's got his jacket on, and he's going to come in for a cuddle or a tickle. And
so is Jeffrey also impressed with you encouraging everybody around him to stroke him?
He knows. They know that when they put their jackets on, they are going to work. And it's no time for play. So they know over the years, they know exactly what to do. And there's actually a thing, and I've seen it happen myself. They're actually in the process of busy studying it. It is called silent processing. And it is, you can't explain it. I saw it happen at the Teddy Bear Foundation. There was a young girl, she was very troubled, obviously going through the process of being prepared for court. And the little dog Jinx went up to her and she grabbed Jinx around the scruff of her neck. And the two of them just rested their heads against one another. And Jinx stayed like that for must have been 2 or 3 minutes. And whatever happened between those two happened. And there was a moment. And you can't explain it, but Jinx knew exactly that girl needed it at that time. And we've seen other ones at an exhibition where something similar happened. A lady walked up, grabbed a Labrador, and the next thing she was in a flood of tears. And it turned out afterwards she'd been going through a lot in her life, a divorce and a whole bunch of other things. And that dog just knew at that time she needed the dog.
Of what she needed. Mm. Would Jeffrey do that when he's not wearing his jacket?
Well, he's a lovable guy. Mm. So he will always go in it. But
do you see differences in behavior and personality when they're with or without?
Absolutely. When he's at home, he's a lunatic. But when he's when he's working, he's sedate. He's not rushing around. He's, he's...
Sounds like Pavlov would have a party.
Yes,
with this. Actually. Okay. So you're really seeing that it affects them in that regard. Do you see stress in the dog sometimes after?
Well, it's not so much stress. It is... Yeah. They are drained.
Yeah, they get tired. So they can only really interact because of sort of they've been doing it for a certain amount of time. Our visits only last about an hour. So it's very interesting to see in those last 10 minutes of the hour how they start winding down and they start, you can see that they're losing their
mojo.
They kind of wind down. So Tessa would go and lie down and sit, but the rest of the time she's very happy tail wagging.
And often after a stressful visit where it's maybe a high intensity visit or there was a lot to give to patients or to kids or whatever the case is, we'll post pictures on our group afterwards and you'll see all the dogs are passed out at home. they're exhausted. They've given everything of their spirit for that 1 hour and then they need time to recuperate.
But I also think, just to add to it, is that those promotional visits, not the promotional visits, the probation visits that we do with our dogs after we've qualified, is very important for us to see what kind of situation would be stressful for them and which would not.
Mm.
So we don't tend to take our dogs to visits that stress them out. So
and that you learn with time
exactly,
of what would work for them,
exactly,
what wouldn't.
Yeah, and we are very, everyone is very understanding. So if your dog is not happy in a visit, you just withdraw and you leave because it's not good for the dog to try and sit through the visit and carry on when they're not happy.
Right.
So,
which is realistic because you go as a group,
yes,
and you
correct.
Support each other, and you're able to give that
so
space.
Our organization actually has public liability, which is also why Nisha mentioned specifically we would never ever go and do a visit one-on-one.
Yeah.
We would always need to be a minimum of two people at a visit, so that you always have somebody witnessing in the event of there being an incident. And I mean, I think in all the years that I've done, nothing is an incident is maybe a dog had a wee in a like accident, had an accident or something like that. But we've never had any forms of aggression, bites, anything like that in all the time that we've had.
So does that mean you also need to keep record of the process?
If there
of
was
the
an
work,
incident, we have got only if there. So we do a report after every. So the visit leader would do a report after every visit, just to say who was at the visit, if there were any incidents, any matters to mention, good or bad. And that's recorded on a central group, and we also keep track of the visits that everybody does.
Okay. I've heard often from parents that I've spoken to them about potentially getting a pet, getting a dog. Specifically, they've said it's too much work and it's expensive. Mm. I want each of you to talk to them now and say, well, yes, but there's these benefits. And this is what you can do to support your child or your spouse or your parents or someone. What would you say to them that will justify the expense, will justify the work? And you do, you need to give the dogs attention. You can't just neglect them. You have to look after them. What would you say to them?
You answer from a child's perspective. I'll answer from the
adult.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that you can go into here.
Okay.
I think that having a pet teaches a variety of things. So first of all, there's the responsibility aspect. If you are agreeing to get a pet, you are agreeing to feed them, you are agreeing to clean up after them, and you're agreeing to give them attention.
Okay.
But in exchange, that pet gives you a friendship, gives you something to come back to in the evenings when you've had a horrible day, and it's instant that they make you smile.
Mm.
So the bond that you create with a pet, I think, is something that is inexplicable in very many ways. And not until you experience it are you actually able to say, oh, I see.
Okay.
So I think that that's a big one for me. But I also think that...
But speaking about responsibility,
yes,
would there be a time you'll take away the dog? So, for example, let's say a child, I want a dog, and I'll clean, I'll take, I'll feed, I'll walk, I'll everything. 3 months down the line, mom is doing everything.
So that
does
happens.
She say, okay, sorry?
It unfortunately happens very often. But what happens is that dog becomes more of a family pet because everybody actually bonds with that pet.
Yeah.
So instead of the child being the only one.
But then we're allowing the child to take on responsibility and just let it go.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But I think that, I think it's maybe something as a parent that you can keep reminding the child that they took responsibility of. So if setting up chore charts, setting up things to make sure that the follow-through is there is very important. And the discussions are also very important. Keep having discussions about, oh, yes, but remember you said that we wanted this dog, and if I get it, I will do this and this and this. We need to continue with that. This is how we learn.
I also think the level of responsibility must be applicable to the age of the child.
Correct.
I think
correct.
That's also something.
Yes, because if you're 5 and you keep asking for a puppy, 5 is you're not quite ready to take on responsibility.
100%. And yeah. So you need to know your child
exactly.
And you need to know how
so,
to
So then
yeah.
It's got to be a family decision.
Yes.
But there's also ways to make it a family thing. So, for instance, taking the dogs for a walk could become a family thing,
outing, yeah.
And a family outing where you take the dog, and so you're ticking two boxes at the same time. Mm. I think I want to just go to an old person's view. So I'm a great advocate for adoption rather than buying pedigrees and things like that. Or if you want a pedigree, there are a number of breed-specific rescue organizations where you can adopt and not necessarily buy from a breeder. That's my personal opinion. But I think, and I'm a great believer in adopting older dogs. And I cringe sometimes when a grandparent or whatever loses somebody and they go and get a puppy. Because then at the end of the day, that puppy is going to outlive the grandparent. So I think it's really important to know and understand the breed of the dog, as well as the level of activity that the dog requires and the age of the dog. So there are so many seniors that would be a good match for a senior, and it gives that person purpose every
yes.
day to wake up.
And meaning.
Mm. It gives right. them a meaning.
So if your parents just retired, or maybe a person has a parent that is starting to develop dementia or getting weaker, you would recommend that they should get a dog?
I think it depends on the person.
Yeah.
I think some people do generally better with cats. You can get a cat as well. Or just being around family, I think, could be beneficial. But getting, I think, that companion that's your companion is so
that's
valuable.
That's relevant, but there is yeah. that energy also. That
yes. Absolutely.
The
and they heal. They yeah. absolutely heal. They heal and they give purpose. Especially in times of grief, I think I find like losing a partner or something like that, having that purpose to get up every morning, feed them, take them for a yeah. walk, it really gives you something to focus on other than the grief. And somehow it helps you work through that grief as well.
Agreed. And it's then just to add on to that, not just with grief, it'll also be mental health.
Yes.
So I have a personal experience of the fact that because that person has a dog, they were, even in a very deep depression, able to get up and go and feed the dog.
Correct.
And have to walk the dog because it was
so
a very high energy dog.
So grief is one thing
dog.
And depression is one thing, but you're talking yeah. about two similar in a way
yeah.
aspects. But
yeah.
are you saying that the dog will give that energy to awaken and to help the person step out of some mental illness or motivate themselves to work?
I think there's a part motivation, but there's also that they are not alone.
Yeah,
that I've got cats at home as well as the dogs, and when I'm not well or when I'm not feeling great, they know. They come to you. They bring their healing energy to you.
I don't think they're a replacement necessarily for going through a therapeutic
process. That was
process.
One of the things I was
no.
going to go there.
I
because
don't think
one of our biggest
yeah.
challenges, and let's look at this for a second. One of our biggest challenges with youngsters and social interaction is that social media is taking over and separating them from human contact to machine connection. And, you know, one of the best questions I've heard one of the youngsters ask a friend is, how many of your friends do you know? Right, like a question, which is completely only relevant for social media, etc., is taking the bit of need and compassion towards human interaction in a way getting distracted or to cost if a child or a teenager would get an animal instead or dog instead that will give them that warmth and connection and that pulse together and one-on-one and skin, etc., that will take away from social interactions between their pairs?
I don't think it'll take away at all. I think actually what I've seen is there's more social interaction when there's a pet involved. I've raised a guide dog puppy as well, and the amount of people that approach you, because guide dog puppies are sort of allowed to go everywhere because they need that training, the amount of people who approach you and the amount of connections I've made are far outweigh the sort of as a, oh, I've got my dog, I don't need anybody else. We all humans need human interaction, and I think the dogs are sort of a gateway into that without it being pressured. So there's no pressure if there's a dog, which is really, really cool.
So then let's speak about some complications potentially. For example, if a couple get together and start a relationship and move in together, get married, settle down, and one of them brings their dog with them. And now the dog is in their bed, getting their attention. Is there a potential for paying a price or complications or something that needs to be looked into when a couple are at the phase, the beginning, that all attention is on each other or needs to be on each other, and one of them comes with their own animal?
I don't know if you want to answer this, but I'm actually in that exact situation. So I come with a dog. My boyfriend also has a dog, but his dog lives with his parents because he used to live in a flat and he's got a Labrador. And the Labrador is bonded with his mom. His name is Neo. He's very sweet. But he's bonded with Dan's mom, and then he, my boyfriend, has actually bonded with Tessa. So even though I come with this, it was kind of a part of, I think if you love that person enough and you, I don't even know if you should say enough. I think if you love that person very much, whatever they come with becomes part of the relationship and becomes part of them. So Tessa is my attachment, and he is actually very fond of her, and she adores him. This is the first person she wants to see.
So there's nothing you would recommend to look out for?
So I think what you can look out for, or just be aware of, is what type of person they are. So I'm very lucky that my boyfriend is a dog person, that he likes dogs, that he's an animal person, that he is a loving person, and that Tessa loves him. But I think that your dog is also very instinctive. So I think that something I would suggest you look out for very carefully is if your dog likes the person or not.
Yeah.
So it tells you a lot.
Okay, that's an interesting aspect, because you may find people in a very difficult space between a spouse and a dog that don't get along with each other. Okay, so that's interesting. That needs to be something that needs to be looked at. By the way, I'd love to hear from the listeners if there's any comments, anything. If you want to tell us what you think about bringing your dog with you into a new relationship and moving in together. Complications, thoughts, good idea, bad idea. What do you think? 061-895-1019. Would love to hear your thoughts about that. Short break. We will be right back.
Torah isn't education. It's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back. And I'm here in a very interesting discussion about therapeutical benefits of therapy dogs, and we're here with their handlers, two volunteers at Top Dog Organization, and Nisha and Corin. And one thing I just want, before we go back onto the topic, an interesting thing I noticed, Nisha, you have your dog Tessa, Corin, you have your dog Jeffrey, right? Throughout the discussion we had, I mean, our listeners are not really seeing the show, but throughout the discussion we had, Tessa was laying on the side, and Nisha, you were giving a lot of attention to Jeffrey.
Mm.
And normally, when you have two dogs coming into a situation, you'll see a lot of jealousy. You'll see that your own dog would be very unhappy with the idea that you're invested so much in Jeffrey. And your own dog would be upset. I even noticed previously when Tessa ran up to the person videoing, Jeffrey was fine with it. What do you do to change that dynamic? It seems to be that there is a different setup almost, from a natural thing that dogs will get anxious and jealous to very chilled.
It's a lot of socializing. Tessa, in particular, I've taken out to social events and to friends' houses and to school, to a school I used to teach at almost every Friday. So she has gotten a lot of exposure to different kinds of people, to possibly other dogs. She's very, very good. Also, I think it could be with the jacket situation, because she knows she's working.
Jeffrey knows that Nietzsche's got treats. That's why he keeps going to her.
Yeah, but Tessa should be even less happy with that idea that her treats are...
Very interesting. Tessa gets very upset if there are treats involved. So I've put them on the table, but I haven't actually given her any, because I tend to not treat her when we're working. She does... She hyper-focuses on the treats. Okay. So I try to not do that. But she will get upset if I am treating one of the other dogs at home and not paying attention to her. But when we're working, it's a completely different setup. So she knows that okay. She will get something.
So if you would take her jacket off now in this setting, she wouldn't be so happy that you're giving Jeffrey attention.
I think she would be because we're not at home. I think being at home for Tessa is a bit different. So Jeffrey puts his jacket on, I think, and it changes him. But when she goes out, once we've had our car trip and she's where she needs to be, she doesn't bark, she doesn't get aggressive. She knows that she needs
to be on. She's got. It's like the norms of behavior. They yes. know to go out.
They know what's the same. Nicely
yes,
in public.
They absolutely. Know they know what their public. Yes. Same yeah. with Jeffrey.
Okay.
Exactly the same.
At what point in life do you say okay? It's time for them to retire?
When they tell us. Yeah. So I've had three therapy dogs,
okay.
and all of them are retired on their instruction. They just tell you, I've had enough. This isn't making me comfortable anymore.
Tell you by intuition or by behavior or by...
Behavior. Yeah. Okay. I remember Chloe, she was my Staffy Cross. We were at a kid's visit. And it was a lot of energy, and she just climbed on my lap, and she looked at me as if to say, please, I can't do this anymore. And I retired her that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know your dog. You have such a good relationship with your dog that you know.
It's a very strong bond. Have either of you had a situation that you had a dog and you wanted them to volunteer, you wanted them to be a therapeutic dog, and it was just, no, it's not going to work?
I haven't. So Tessa's my first. I've had a dog before her, but she's my first dog that I've ever taken for therapy. And even the guide dog puppy that we raised, Hamley, was exceptionally calm. And he doesn't like being touched on his head, but and we'd love to actually bring him, but we just haven't had the chance. I've seen people go through the evaluation and have a dog that they think is the correct type of dog for therapy work, but during the evaluation the dog just showed that person that she doesn't want to she doesn't want to do this,
not like, interested.
Exactly. It's like she doesn't feel comfortable around so many other dogs, even though she's well socialized. The whole situation was not comfortable for her, so she just didn't go through with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do the handlers, meaning you, deal with the emotional stress? What is the impact it has on someone who does volunteer, and how do you support yourself through that?
So I think the number one is we never ask what the story is. At the end of the day, we are the chauffeurs for the dogs, and our role is to let them do the work and not us do the work. So we shouldn't really be getting involved in people's stories.
Yes, but if I would walk in weekly into a burning unit, a trauma unit,
a
cancer unit.
Look, I think those units are different because the turnover of patients is different. So there's very seldom that you'll see the same person time and time again. A retirement village or teddy bear foundation, that's different. We recently lost one of the gents at Frail Care, and... he was just the most wonderful man. He cried every time we came because it made him so happy. He was pretty much a prisoner of his bed. And every time we came, he said his family lived overseas and he was on his own. And the last visit that we went, his bed was empty. And it is upsetting. There's just no getting out of it. It is very upsetting. And it's also, especially in a frail care scenario with patients with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and just... old age, seeing the deterioration month after month, it is upsetting. But you have to stick with the belief that for that hour that we were there, we made a difference in somebody's life. We brightened, Jeffrey and I as a team, we brightened their day. And
it's
that
very
is
concerning
enough.
What you're saying, I have to say, and I'll challenge you on that right now, because, you know, we have on the show all professionals, and we work with everyone personally in my practice with my therapist, and we do a lot of work. And every group of therapists, from psychologists to social workers to doctors to paramedics, they all have to deal with this question: how do they deal with the stress? How do they get empowered? How do they manage their trauma? How do they prepare themselves before a scene? How do they leave a scene? How do they do a debrief? How do you identify the one doctor, paramedic, or or a therapist that it is going into burnout. And it sounds like in the area of therapy dogs that you're putting all the emphasis in the dogs, there's almost a invisible structure around the handlers.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about it that way. But I also, I don't know if I can speak to this a little bit. I haven't been doing as many visits because I've been very busy in my personal life. And I think that how top dogs, they're actually quite good at managing it, because you have to, as you kind of agree to doing a minimum of 12 visits a year. So that's kind of one a month. And a lot of, for a lot of people, that is what they can manage.
Okay.
So they we take what we can manage, and I think we deal with it in that way. A lot of us are in our own therapy, and we'll deal. I, for example, deal with it in my therapy with my psychologist, and I have a very supportive family and partner, and I'm able to decompress when I get home. There is also,
Then when somebody becomes a volunteer, then it needs to be that they have that support system
so
in place.
Exactly,
and not everybody can do this.
Yes, this is true.
Okay, we'll have to talk about it after. We'll go off air. We do need to take our last break for today's show, and then when we come back, we're going to start heading towards the end of the hour.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back, but we're actually towards the end of today's show. Very interesting one. I'm here with Karin and with Nisha, and we're speaking about their journey volunteering and work as therapeutical dog handlers, and what you said earlier in the show about the dog being finished at the end of the day. I could see very clearly, almost feel like whispering so I don't wake up the dogs. But I'm going to, here
Why
we go.
It wasn't you, it was me.
Okay. However, what I do want to ask you guys as the same question I asked every visitor on the show for probably the last decade that I've been doing this is, on a personal level, and each one of you I'll ask separately, I'll start with you, Nisha. On a personal level, what do you wish and hope that we know or do different for a better future?
Wow. I think just be kind to one another. And okay. I think just hearing it, someone out, knowing that they, if they are being a certain way, they are not necessarily, it's not necessarily because they want to be, perhaps there's something that happened. I think listening to people and being kind, I think is my big one. And I think that's part of why I do this is, you don't know what people's stories are, but you can be a small part of it, even if it's for a...
Be kind, be there for someone.
Yeah.
Don't be judgmental.
Yes.
And know that everybody has a reasoning and you're there for everybody. Amazing. Karin?
My number one is you are loved from above.
Yeah.
Whatever, whoever your person is, but you are loved. And the other thing is that you can make a difference. One person can make a difference. Those are the things that I live by.
100%. And when we realize that we can make a difference, and we should, and we will make a difference, then we will. We actually will make a difference, as you've done. And I'm sure how aware Tessa and Jeffrey are of the impact they had in people's lives forever, I don't know if they'll ever know, and I don't know if you guys even know. But it definitely is amazing and incredible work. And very interesting discussion, and I think anybody, any parent, if you're there, any family member, consider this and see what you can give with your dog or what you can get through that therapeutical, support from the dog. And it's incredible work. And so thank you for your work, for your volunteering, for your investment, besides for your own personal jobs. And thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate it. That was Nisha and Karin from Top Dogs, and really interesting discussion. If you want to catch up on anything you missed on the show, just go to our podcast on Chai FM website and you will hear all of what we spoke about. thank you for being here.
May I make one last statement? If anybody is interested in becoming a handler, they can go to our website, topdogs.co.za, and there is a little button that says, are you interested in becoming a handler? And they can click on that and do the questionnaire.
Okay.
It would be lovely. We're always looking for new handlers.
Topdogs.co.za. Okay, amazing. So thank you, and thank you, Craig, for managing the show perfectly. Thank you, Senna, for putting these interviews in place, and thank you to our listeners that are here week after week every time we discuss another topic. Stay safe till next week. Enjoy your week. Hopefully the world will continue for another week of calmness and ceasefire and things that are managing, but regardless, stay safe and enjoy the other shows on Chai FM until we're back next week, Monday at 11 o'clock.